Welcome to the Love Alexi podcast. Is that how I usually do my intros to my show? Oh, who cares anymore? Hello, welcome to Love Alexi. My name is Alexi Wasser. I am your host. This is my podcast. And first and foremost, I have to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Ray Rose. Who's Ray Rose, you ask? Well, let me fucking tell you. All right. I'm sorry. That was a little bit aggressive. I didn't mean to talk to you like that. I love you, all of you out there, whoever you are listening, wherever you are. Anyway, we're already off track. Who is Ray Rose? Well, Ray Rose is a holistic business coach who helps conscious entrepreneurs launch and scale their companies. I can't think of a better sponsor for today's episode because it makes sense because today I have an acupuncturist, Reiki master, energy healer, Laura Elliott on the show. So, and it's all aligned. My sponsor is aligned with the guest. I love it. It's not a mistake. There are no mistakes. Anyway, so Ray Rose is a holistic business coach. And whether you are a wellness entrepreneur, a coach, a therapist, or have a tangible product like a health food or an apparel line, here's what Ray does. Ray helps you navigate all of the roadblocks from social media to email lists. She helps you with your website, landing your ideal clients. She assesses all of that and she aids you in all of that. So what else can I tell you about Ray Rose? Ray is a genius. This is her genius. She's a genius when it comes to crafting your purpose-driven mission and brand voice so you can generate abundance through a personalized strategy that works for you. All right? That doesn't sound too bad. Not too shabby. Anyway, so here's what she does. Her functional approach provides a sustainable road to success rather than all the traditional hustle harder, sleep less model, which like drains you and makes you suffer and doesn't actually really even help your business. It doesn't always work. What Ray does is she teaches you step by step how to monetize your brand, increase sales, outsource, and scale. It's so important to learn how to outsource, how to delegate. There are just a lot of things that you can help yourself by learning these hot tips and tricks. Did I just say that? I did. That can help expand your business and make you a stronger entrepreneur. Ray provides a proven framework to develop more trust within yourself, which is so very important. I could use a little more of that. But she helps you develop more of a trust within yourself as a decisive, clear, empowered leader. So here's the deal. If you're out there, and you can hear me, and I hope you can. If you're out there and you're ready to launch your business or you want to level up, all you have to do is book a coaching session with Ray. She serves clients all over the world via Skype, and you can find her at zenbossacademy.com and on Instagram. Ever heard of it? I have. At I am Ray Rose. And I'm actually going to spell this out because I don't want any confusion. Her Instagram handle is I as in ice cream, A as in apple, M as in me, R as in rabbit, A as in apple, E as in electric, Rose, R-O-S-E. I just couldn't keep doing it. I just want to make sure you're spelling Ray right. It's R-A-E. I am Ray Rose. All right, you got that? So go empower yourself with your business, whoever you are, wherever you are. Good luck to you. But for a moment, before you reach out to Ray, hang out and listen to me talk to my cool guest. My guest today on this very podcast is Laura Elliott. Laura is an integrative healer based in Los Angeles, California. She employs a variety of Eastern and Western modalities, including integrative Reiki, acupressure, craniosacral therapy. I talked to Atma Liv Priya a few weeks ago. She's a craniosacral therapist. It's becoming the norm. I'm having all these craniosacral therapists on the Love Alexi podcast. Anyway, back to Laura. So Laura, she incorporates herbology, guided visualization, and spine activation. She supports her clients to address physical and emotional trauma in the mind and body. I've had several sessions with her. When you listen to this episode of us having a conversation, we recorded right after I had a session with Laura, and we talk all about it and what she did, and it's a very beautiful, gentle conversation. It's a special conversation. I really do feel like gentle is the way to describe today's episode. She's a wizard master at what she does. I actually, I told her I was going to do this. I said, listen, if I have your telephone number stored in my phone, I'm going to text you inappropriately and have no boundaries. I just know I will. And she was like, no, it's okay. You can text me. Because she's a sweetheart. She's a doll. And you know what? I just did. I literally had a panic attack. It probably wasn't really a panic attack, but I got very wound up, freaked out about my life, burst into tears. And I was freaking out about potentially aging out of having a baby. And I just got so overwhelmed that I sent her the chunkiest text. Not the chunkiest text I've ever sent anyone, but a very chunky text when I've never really sent a super chunky text where I'm spiraling and being boundaryless. With Lara, I've never sent her a text like this, and I hope I never do again. Anyway, I feel much better now. I'm with all of you out there. I feel a lot calmer and grounded hanging out with my only friends in the world, the people who may or may not be listening to my podcast. And then I just sent a second text. I just sent a second text to Lara because I got over my panic. And I was like, hey, me again. Hey, it's me again. I really wish I could unsend this text. Cause honestly, between you and me, I really do wish there was like on Instagram DMs now, you can press unsend, which is thank fucking God. It's bad enough that Instagram has the feature, where you can see what your friends are liking and what they're commenting on people's posts. That sucks. That's ridiculous. That's like cruel. It's cruel. It only creates suffering. All right. It's ridiculous. But they make up for it with the unsend feature in the direct messages section of Instagram. So I really wish I could do that with texts, but you can't do that yet. It's not happened. So anyway, I was like, I wish I could unsend this. I'm much calmer. I'm so sorry. Hope you're great. Have a good night. Oh boy. So yeah. Anyway. Lara, if you're listening, I apologize. I feel like you know me well enough, even though we've only met in person twice, but I feel like we've had such intense sessions and hangouts because they've been healing sessions. I've screamed in a pillow in your presence. I've held on to minerals and had hand spasms and, burst into, just guttural tears in front of you. So a chunky text is the least of my worries, but I'm still embarrassed. But not really, but I also should be embarrassed because the embarrassment will keep me from doing it again, and that is the goal. Anyway, what was I saying? Lara Elliott, you want to book a healing session with her? I think you should. They're intense. She offers a ton of different services. We discussed them on this episode. You can go to her website and learn all about what her offerings are. Go to LaraElliottHealing.com. And just because, me included, a lot of people have the tendency to misspell Elliott, I'm going to spell her name out for you too, because I want to make sure anybody and everybody listening finds Ray Rose and Lara Elliott without any problems. So here's Lara's website, LaraElliottHealing.com. Sometimes people forget that there are two T's and two L's in Elliott. I know I do. One of my best girlfriends, her boyfriend's name is Elliott, misspell it every time. And it's not even that I misspell it. I spell it differently every time I refer to him when I'm texting her. And we're talking about him. All positive things, I promise. Anyway, find Lara on Instagram at LaraElliott1. And yeah, she offers healing sessions in person or Skype. You can book via her website. You can send her an email to hello@LaraElliottHealing.com. And as if that wasn't enough, I mean, the woman does so much. And she's a mother. She's married. She's a businesswoman. She has a career. She has an adorable baby. I'm not pausing because I'm sad that I might age out of having a baby. I didn't mean to like say the word baby and then pause as if like a lot of stuff's going on in my head. That's not the case. I just got a little bit confused for no reason other than the fact that it's an inferno in Los Angeles. And I'm sweating profusely, but like in a cool, sexy way. So listen, so as if Lara doesn't do enough stuff, she also teaches Reiki. So if you want to go to a Reiki training workshop, which I think would be super cool and fascinating to do, I would like to do one of those myself. I'm going to give you all of the dates for her upcoming Reiki training workshops in Los Angeles. You got a pen and paper, or do you have the ability to press rewind on this podcast or, to go back a bit so you can listen to this over and over again until you find a date that works for you? Perfect. All right. She's teaching Reiki 1, November 8th and 9th of 2019. Reiki 1 is also being taught February 1st and 2nd of 2020. Reiki 2 is being taught by Laura Elliott February 29th and March 1st of 2020. And she's also doing an integrative, is that the right word? Integrative? I think it is. I'm just going to go with it and be really confident about it. Integrative. She's also doing an integrative Reiki training workshop December 7th and 8th of 2019. So there you have it. Oh, and she's doing a Reiki master's retreat October 9th through 14th, 2019. Ooh, a master's retreat. I'm too green for that. I'm not ready for that. I got to take the bunny slopes. The bunny slopes for Reiki workshop retreats or just workshops. Listen, I'm all over the place. You know about Laura, you know where to find her. You know about Ray Rose, my cool sponsor, my beautiful holistic goddesses who make up and comprise this podcast, today's episode. You got all their info, and I'm glad you do. Man, where do I go from here? Just telling you my sob story about what I've been noticing this week and what's going on with me? All right. I don't know where to begin, but I will say, to make fun of myself, last podcast episode, and I'm going to try not to say podcast too much because the word is the worst, even though podcasts are the greatest. Last week, and by last week, I mean 2 weeks ago, because yes, I've waited another 2 weeks to put out an episode because I'm going through a lot. How fucking dare you? Shout out to my little brother, Cedal, because I heard he plays the drinking game, have a drink every time Alexi says, how dare you, on this podcast. So maybe he just did a shot or had a sip of wine. I don't know. I hope it's okay that I just said you're my little brother and you do big sister sessions, Cedal. But if you have a problem with that, and I don't think you will, just let me know during our next sesh. Anyway, I was boasting about how I got off Facebook. And listen, I got off Facebook for nearly a month. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait, there's a message. I have something in my inbox. Somebody gave me their phone number in a conversation I had in 2011. I need to get that information. And I just fucking, I reactivated my account. I did it. I'm about to cough too. And you guys are so much better than that. You people. I'm telling you, it's an inferno. There's a fuzzle in my throat. Oh my God. What is this episode coming to already? 2 weeks ago I was sobbing, or I was in tears in a very emotional episode, but I'm feeling so much better that now the my biggest problem is, I've reactivated my Facebook account. I'm much happier, and not to be a dork, but I haven't had alcohol in 18 days. I've been on Prozac, 20 milligrams of Prozac. And this is all coming from a girl who a year ago or a year and a half ago, never would I have thought I'd be on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication. Never. So judgmental about it. Just so judgmental. And then if you've listened to this show before, you probably know that I go through very raw, vulnerable, intense, spirally mind-bender moments where I don't want to say overthink and panic and worry and just get very introspective and neurotic and anxiety-ridden about things. And so here I am, having tried Zoloft, that didn't quite work, and I decided to take my psychiatrist's hand, it's a metaphor, take his hand and let him guide the way. He's very conservative when it comes to prescribing antidepressants. My therapist, my guru, wonderful therapist, my talk therapist, psychologist, recommended this psychiatrist to me because he was like, I like him because he's so conservative. And his mantra is start slow. Wait, no. That could be the mantra. Start slow. Wait, no. No, his mantra is start low, go slow. So that's what I've been doing. I started low on the Zoloft, went slow, didn't work, had some side effects, wasn't doing it. And now I've moved on to Prozac. I, you know, tapered down, tapered up. I'm on 20 milligrams of Prozac. And holy shit, I feel so energized. And I'm not trying to be like, hey guys, I'm taking Prozac. You should too. Not at all. This is my story. I'm just telling you what's going on with me. And, you know, whatever. Live your own life. This is, how dare you? I didn't go to college. I'm completely unqualified to, and not certified to give you any advice, even though I have a big sister sessions where I give advice to people. But it's more because they feel close to me because I share so much on this podcast and they respect my opinion on stuff. But where was I going with all this? Prozac is working for me. I'm feeling good on it. And here's what I wanted to talk about. I feel like I've taken Adderall like twice in my life, maybe three times, where I've taken like half of the lowest, you know, pill or dose or whatever, whatever of Adderall. It's always, I've gotten it from like, you know, college kids or teenagers who were like, here's have some Adderall. And I'm like, oh my God, relax. Okay, thanks. So I've taken tiny bits of Adderall maybe three times in my life. Every time I've done that, I've been disgusted. I've been like, oh my God, I can't leave my house. I feel like I'm super cracked out. I'm on amphetamines. People are going to just judge me. I don't feel normal. This is a nightmare. And I end up Swiffering my house, not doing the work I intended to do, which is why I took the Adderall to begin with. So I feel like Prozac, is what Adderall should be for me, like what the desired effect would be. Or maybe I shouldn't even make this comparison. Here's the difference in me. I'm more motivated. I've been so energetic, super motivated. I feel like I did before I was ever in a relationship. And that's not to shit on my relationship. I love my boyfriend, but I've been so anxiety ridden because of all the suffering I've been putting myself through trying to learn how to be healthy in a relationship, which is so hard for me because of all my blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. But you know, all the stuff that I'm dealing with, you know, which I deal with during my trauma Reiki session with Laura, if I ever throw us over to our conversation. And I will, I promise. Jesus. That's rude. So yeah, I've been suffering a lot. So now I feel like I did when I was single, on my own, empowered, not making my happiness someone else's responsibility, back when I was responsible for my own happiness because I hadn't projected all these expectations on some man. So now I'm like waking up early. I still have my moments. Okay. It's only been like 2 weeks. All right. I'm not perfect. There's no such thing. All right. And definitely not for me, but maybe I'll find my version of perfect, my version of what works best for me. And so far, 20 milligrams of Prozac is doing it. So I'm waking up earlier. I'm really like motivated, productive, doing things, going to meetings. I got to a meeting a half hour early today and I was like super prepared and had all this, like I was sharp with it, all this stuff. And I'm not getting hooked into things that would normally hook me into spiraling, you know, which is usually everything when it comes to a romantic relationship. But now it's just like little things here and there, like kind of like normal girly things, if you don't mind me being gender specific and probably setting us back 20 years. But anyway, I'm very happy. So that's what I wanted to update you with. And it's just shocking. It's a shocker. It's a shocker because for a lot of, I would have been in the fetal position, in, you know, just a lot, just crying, sad, in the fetal position, not feeling motivated, feeling really lethargic and sluggish. And I just don't feel that way anymore. And I'm praying to God, oh dear Lord, let this continue. Oh my God. I'm sure as soon as I'm done recording this intro, I'm just going to like shut off like a robot. Like the Prozac will just stop working. And I'm like, oh God, I jinxed it. But anyway, that's where I'm at with that. And even though I have been, yes, very productive, I'm not going to lie to you. I've been binge watching so much television or so much content or whatever the fuck you want to call it. TV shows. Here's what I've watched. Oh my God. I watched season 1 and 2 of Barry, which I loved. I'm going to save the best for last. Love Barry on HBO with Bill Hader. I watched season 4 and 5 or 3 and 4. I don't know. I just watched, I'm all caught up on Catastrophe, the Sharon Horgan, Rob Delaney show that's available on Amazon. Fantastic. I have been watching a lot of 90 Day Fiancé, Before the 90 Days. Love it. I'm caught up on The Hills. And I'm thinking about getting into Mindhunter. I think that's, who's making that? Who is that? That's not Steven Soderbergh. David Fincher. That's on Netflix. I will get to that. But I watched Barry, Catastrophe, 90 Day Fiancé, and to top it all off, oh, I also watched a show called This Way Up or This Side Up or This Way Up. This Way Up. It's some British show also starring Sharon Horgan from Catastrophe. It's available on Hulu. This Way Up. I like it, and I don't want to describe it the way I'm going to describe it because I don't want to sound like I'm talking shit, but I referred to it as the poor man's Fleabag. And the reason I said that was, as much as I liked This Way Up, which is about a woman going, you know, who's very emotional, going through her feelings, just feeling a lot of feelings, you know, it's funny. It is a funny show. Fleabag, however, is so fucking incredible and special. Please run, don't walk. Please watch Fleabag. Please binge watch season 1 and 2 if you haven't already. Please, I implore you. I was so just moved by the second season. First season, I loved it. I don't know why it took me so long to watch the second season. It aired and came out months ago. Not that that's so long. I'm living my life. I've been trying to get my own shit together. Thank you very much. But I finally got around to it, and I've just been staying up. Talk about being energized and, you know, feeling like I'm on Adderall without the side effects, without the come downs. I've been staying up very late, watching a ton of television, just, you know, utilizing my time. Oh, by the way, side note, I also bought patio furniture and an outdoor patio rug, a very chic one from Target. Yes, so sue me. I like Target. Take me away. If it's a crime, guilty as charged. Anyway, I bought patio furniture to utilize the space, as they say on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I'm utilizing the space, making my home more, you know, just that's a nicer place to live. And I'm really excited about that. So I can't believe it. I'm doing all these things I intended to do a while ago, but I've been putting off. Anyway, back to Fleabag. It's so special. It's hilarious. It's funny. Oh, former Love Alexi podcast guest Brett Gelman is one of the stars of Fleabag. He's in everything good. Anyway. I was just very excited. He like blew me away. I already love him and think he's a great person. And I think he's a great and talented actor. But then I saw his performance in Fleabag. It's so great. And I'm already forgetting the name of the creator star of the show Fleabag. I think her name is, what is it? Phoebe something or other? Phoebe Waller something or other? Just DM me. Let me know on Instagram. Just correct. I'll Google it later. But yeah, I cried. I was hot and bothered. I was turned on. There was tension. I cried. I felt incredibly sad. I wept. I laughed. It's just, it was everything I wanted. It hit all the everything I wanted. Okay. It checked all the boxes. It affected me deeply, which I long for in entertainment. When I'm watching movies and TV shows, I hope it will make me laugh and cry. And this did. So if you like this show, if you like the Love Alexi podcast, I'm telling you, I know already, you're going to love season 1, and especially season 2 of Fleabag, available on Amazon. Anyway, so if there's anything I even get across to you today, it's to watch Fleabag. So, and I also saw, I loved it, but not as much as Fleabag, but it's not a competition, but Fleabag wins. I saw the new Shia LaBeouf movie. It's called Peanut Butter Falcon. It's so lovely. Again, I should refer to that as kind of gentle. It's funny. It's moving. It's sad. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. It's just Shia LaBeouf is in it. And he's a great actor and he just melts into his character. He just disappears into the character. I love Shia. I'm going to call him his first name. Not because I'm trying to make it seem like I know him, but because, I just can't be bothered to botch his last name anymore. I just don't want to do that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. So yeah, he did all these things and people were always making fun of him. I'm talking about Shia. And fuck all that. He walked through all of it. He did all the things he wanted to do, putting the popcorn bag thing over his head at the movie theater, his art installation piece thing. He was in a Sia music video, which is a great thing. That's not nothing embarrassing. That's great. I love that song, whatever it's called. Something about a heart. What is it? Heart cage. Something about a heart in a cage. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. He did all these things and people just gave him so much grief and so much shit and like made fun of him and all this stuff. But you know what? Fuck it. I think he's come out. He's on the other side of all of it. And the guy is so talented. So I love Shia LaBeouf. And one day I'll love him so much. I'll find out how to pronounce his name properly. And yeah. Other than that, what else can I tell you? I decided to implement a new type of big sister session. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I do these things called big sister sessions where, again, didn't go to college, I'm not certified, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I offer something called big sister sessions, and they're pretty self-explanatory. I have sessions with people via Skype for an hour where I serve as a big sister, and you can tell me anything and everything you're going through, spiraling over, feeling, concerned about, friends, dating, sex, relationships, body dysmorphia, feelings, everything. I want to hear all of it. And then, I give you action steps and tools and advice and my thoughts. And, and I leave you with tools and homework, essentially. I give out homework assignments or just things to do. To get you through whatever turmoil it is you're going through and to get you to a more kind of empowered place. I've been doing this for not even a year, I don't think. I came up with this idea and I was kind of embarrassed about it. I was like, big sister sessions, is that dumb? Is that stupid? I just think it'd be really fun because I would put these parties on called Girls Night In. That's kind of like an Al-Anon meeting, except it would be a group of, women only at a private residence. And, kind of a small group. I played around with the number of people who I'd have attend, because I wanted to see what a small group would be compared to a big group. And there are these kind of lovely, I was trying to recreate like a 70s Cassavetes movie or something where people are just in a circle talking about feelings and bonding and, being women and whatever. So I did that for quite a while, maybe nearly 2 years. And they got so taxing. There were a lot of energy. And what I realized was I couldn't give all the attention I wanted to give to each and every person. And I thought, I really want to give one-on-one sessions because that would be so lovely. So I came up with big sister sessions, one-on-one Skype sessions with people all over the world. And at first I only offered them to women. And now I offer them to men and women, girls, boys, men, women, whoever you are, wherever you are. If you click the link in my Instagram bio at Alexi Wasser, there's all the information. You can book a session. You can get the info. And if you don't find any times that work for you, just DM me on Instagram and we can work something out. But I've been doing tons of those. I'm shocked at how much it took off and it's been so wonderful. And the response I've gotten has been just incredible and just heartwarming. Yeah, but it has been heartwarming. And then I decided, probably 2 or 3 days ago, I thought, you know what? I think I would really be good at mediating for couples. And what I mean by that is, so often when two people in a relationship are having an argument or a disagreement or just trying to communicate, neither one can hear the other one. And it would be so helpful to have, a person in the middle, a couple's kind of therapist, counselor, or mediator to help communicate and land the information from one person to the other, into the other person's head. So I've created the framework. I know how I'm going to do it now. The sessions are about 2 hours. Now they're called Big Sister Couples Sessions. And I talk to one person in the relationship for a half hour. I say hello to both of them for about 2 minutes. Then one goes away. I talk to one member of the couple for about a half hour, find out what their issues are. What is the problem? What do they want to communicate? Then the other person in the relationship comes in and I send the other one away and I do a one-on-one with the remaining person in the relationship. And they tell me what their issues are and what they want to communicate. And then I go back and I communicate the info to the, you know, whatever. I communicate, I learn about all the issues one-on-one, and then I communicate to the other party one-on-one. And then at the end, we wrap it up in a couple's sesh where I talk to both of them at the same time to see if they have any more thoughts, feelings, questions, concerns, and I try to help them be better at communicating so that they can do this on their own. So I've booked a couple sessions. I literally just came up with this idea, and I already have bookings, so I'm going to see how they go, see if they're well-received, see if I enjoy doing them or if I'm even any good at it. If I'm not good at it and it stresses me out and I don't feel like I'm doing a service, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to offer that. But if they go well, I will continue to offer them. And if you would like one of these, again, just DM me. DM me on Instagram at Alexi Wasser. So there you go. I think I've said it all. I'm not drinking, Prozac, life, TV shows, Big Sister sessions. There you have it. Listen, and one last thing. If you love this podcast, if you like the Love Alexi podcast, subscribe on iTunes, rate the show, leave a comment, tell anyone who will listen about it. The Love Alexi podcast is an independent podcast. It's an independent podcast. I'm not on a network. If you want to help support the show and be a patron saint of the arts and be a patron saint of the Love Alexi podcast, I would absolutely love that. You can do so by donating to the show via Venmo at Alexi Wasser. And there you have it. If you want to advertise on the show, send me yet another DM. Just find me on Instagram. I'm never not on Instagram. It's an addiction. It's a problem. It's a business and a lifestyle. So yeah, advertisers, all the inquiries. DM me on Instagram at Alexi Wasser. And you know what? Now I'm going to shut the fuck up so you can enjoy my lovely, beautiful, dare I say, gentle conversation, even though I just cursed. So I'm being a little bit aggressive. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy my lovely conversation with Laura Elliott.
All right.
All right. So it's Laura.
Laura.
Laura Elliott.
Uh-huh.
And how do you describe... By the way, everybody, we just had a crazy session. It was very exciting. Oh my goodness, you and I have spoken already so much. So I came into your space. I'm going to talk a lot right now and then I will shut the fuck up. But I came into your space, sat down. We talked about a lot of intense stuff, feelings, life, this and that, all these important, beautiful things. And I thought, oh no, we're technically podcasting right now, but I loved it and it was so beautiful. But then I thought, should I tell her to save the magic and the gold that's coming out of your mouth? And I thought, no, I want to experience this for myself now. But anyway, what do you do? How do you explain this to people at parties? When you go to a party and how do you describe what you do?
Yeah, I think it has been a while that I've been to a party.
Pretend.
So, yeah. So right now, yeah, let's talk about what just happened. So my background maybe helps. I am a Chinese medicine practitioner. I studied Chinese medicine for over 7 years, and I'm a Reiki teacher, Reiki practitioner. So over these, I don't know, 8-9 years that I'm now working in the healing arts, I've been mixing creatively some of the modalities I've learned. And so a session can look a little bit different. And I have that on my website, you know, the different offerings. So what we just did was a session, they're called healing session. And I do not think I'm healing anybody, but I'm supporting, you know, you on your healing journey or my friends and clients. But yeah, we basically first tapped into a little bit of a holistic conversation where knowingly or unknowingly, we talked a little bit about your, you know, body, your mind, your thoughts, your heart, you know, all the emotional things, and maybe even tapping into the spirit, you know, and then addressing or trusting that this is actually all addressed in the session then that follows, or in the second part that follows on the table, where I, you know, intentionally and creatively and intuitively mix breathing techniques with my, you know, touch, hands, and my knowledge about the meridians in the body, and a lot of other things about the body. So it's an energy healing session, maybe in the greater sense, where I use touch and visualization, guided meditation, and it can feel very relaxing, very moving, releasing, and all of it together at the same time in a session. And we're tapping into, your energy in the body, emotions that are attached to it, physical sensations, pain, tension, and allowing to some of the blocks that are maybe here to open, to move, and also, first of all, to be acknowledged.
I mean, it's so interesting because this is my second session with you. I had my first one maybe like about a year ago. And in that session, I cried. I was a little bit embarrassed that I cried too. I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know this was going to happen. But I I felt like I gutturally sobbed. Maybe that was with someone else, but I felt like maybe I'm always gutturally sobbing. But yeah, I cried on the table and I did feel the energy in my body moving. But this session was so different. It was so interesting, different in how like my body reacted to the breathing work that you were guiding me through. And my hands locked up. Just to tell my listeners like what happened, but I just felt almost like my hands, there's like a spasm in my wrist, and they're like locked up and tight, and I couldn't move my hands. And then I felt the same thing in my calves. Maybe my jeans are too tight. They're definitely too tight. I'm trying to stretch them out and break them in. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But and this was the work we were doing, not my jeans. But yeah, I just had such a different physical reaction. I fell asleep momentarily, and then I woke up, even though I felt completely present and awake most of the time. I don't even know what to ask you about what just happened. So it's amazing to think, because at first I'm thinking, oh, it's just breath work. What is this going to do? How does what you're telling and my body to do and guiding me through, how does that activate all of this to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we talked about a little bit at the beginning of the session, a little bit the architecture of our energetic body. So I always like to explain my philosophy of working, which is we're addressing, or I believe a person is not only body, not only the brain and the mind, but physical body, energetic bodies, which is actually more than one probably, emotional body, mental body, and spiritual body, and probably also more here. But So the energetic body has structures like the meridian system that we all, or, you know, hear from, and the points based on that meridian system or on those lines in acupuncture. And in other traditions like yoga, which is also thousands of years old, we work with something called the chakra system. So it's beyond muscles and, veins and all of this. There's a structure in our bodies on the energetic in the energetic levels, and this is where we hold. It's connected and interwoven with the physical body, even with our endocrine system. So it throughout our life, at the early time in our life, it develops, and then throughout our life, especially our early life, it can either develop well, or it can suffer a little bit and then constrict, and that is based on our experience in early life and then later on, and specifically traumatic experiences. And these can be very, very strong, that we consciously, like sexual abuse, physical abuse, but it could also just be a group of mean children, bullied, or a mean look, and, you know, all kinds of things that can be experienced as traumatic. And these experiences can make us feel unsafe in our body, and that also on the conscious and subconscious. So subconsciously, a lot of energy, or a lot can happen with the energy flow throughout our body and the way we function as human beings. So We all know that posture, for example, is very indicative of, I don't know if we all know that, but it's it's something to be really curious about.
I'm always slouching.
Our posture is very telling about how we position ourselves in life, and that's very indicative of what we've experienced. So oftentimes someone who was wounded and disappointed, so close their hearts a little bit, we oftentimes have a little bit of a guarded feeling of our chest. So there's a little bit of a rolling over from the shoulders forward. And
that's me. Yeah.
A lot, you know, so many of us, or, you know, people who have trust issues, we can hold trust issues often in the neck. So a little bit of the neck, a little bit forward. So there's a lot of this, and there are probably many books written about it. I could talk about these things for a long time, and maybe they do need more explanation, but just the general idea that our body, knowingly or unknowingly, reacts on many different levels to what we experience in everyday life. And especially when we are very young, very open, pure, you know, beings that just came to this world in the first months and years of our life, and things that happen to us then, they go very deep on very levels. So maybe, you know, a lot of you also heard or, you know, about the idea that in relationship, old traumas arise, and it has nothing to do with our current partner, but that's, you know, why we start fighting with the people we love so much. And this is all the old wounds that come up. So that's a very interwoven idea here. And so in this work that I offer, or, you know, with my clients, it's, we are tapping into these old wounds. We're tapping into them, and more so than me really navigating it, I'm using the tools, and I, you know, allow my intuition to guide me, but it's really also your body leading it, your breath, and I lead you into the breathing, or my hands bring attention to certain areas in the body where things are held, but then it's really all, you know, happening, the work is really happening inside of you and for you. And that's why oftentimes it's like, oh, what just happened?
Yeah.
And I had, you know, I have clients because maybe they hear, oh, Reiki, and then think of something that's very relaxing, like a massage, which also, that can be too. You know, I do that too. But oftentimes when we look into the blocks and someone really comes here and said, okay, something, you know, I'm stuck, then they oftentimes get off from the table and say, wow,
yeah,
what just happened? And wow, I didn't experience this. You know, they cried, they loved. I let people scream. So I let people, you know, love, and just, you know, things that I know help opening the body.
Yeah. Can you see things too? Like, I don't know if you do, you see colors or things kind of hovering over this in this during the session?
So not in a way that some people talk about it or say, oh, I see your aura, or I see things, you know, and maybe that is a third eye thing that still opens up with the years. I feel I'm more of, you know, my intuitive gifts, psychic gifts, are more in the feeling realm.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I feel vibrations in the body, and I know that this is also sensitivity that develops because I'm doing this work now for years, and it's definitely gotten stronger over these last few years. So I feel subtle vibration a lot stronger in the body, which shows me, oh, there is a shift happening right now. And then because I learned so much about the body academically, and now, you know, just by doing the work and working with people. So the body, the movement, your breathing shows me so much. And so I see blocks or blockage, you know, blocked energy in the body by just looking at my client laying on the table and breathing.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, you know, with this kind of work we just did today, you know, which I sometimes call trauma release, where I really help to get into the areas of discomfort, of resistance. I work also, you know, with the psycho-emotional realms where I know, okay, now you're tapping into a resistance of, you know, tapping into fear. So I guide you through this. So there's also the communication and mental, emotional, on a mental, emotional level. But so, yeah, the seeing of colors. When I close my eyes, I sometimes start my third eye opens. Maybe it sounds all a little bit
crazy,
but and then I see maybe colors. But I usually keep my eyes open because I look at, you know, where I see the openings. Because just as an easy way to describe it, if someone lays down on the table, or if you, you know, whoever is listening, or you know, when you go home and you lay down. And just take those conscious deep breaths into the lower belly and then maybe into the heart or into the chest area. And you can tell, oh, I'm having a really hard time breathing into my lower belly and it feels achy here in my chest or in the solar plexus or the area in between my lower belly and my chest. And yeah, so with the things I've studied and I've come to know over the years, the body, the organs, energetically in Chinese medicine, the chakra system. This is related to, you know, our sexual energy, our solar plexus chakra.
Which holds shame. And well, maybe we can take us through that too. But before we even do that, the funny thing is I'm so open and I'm curious to every kind of healing modality and experience. But I'm also would be the quickest to say like, oh, that person's a charlatan, or oh, I thought this was bullshit. So when I don't feel like that, that's such a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And so coming to you both times, I'm like, oh, something is happening here. Mm-hmm. This is not bullshit, not to be so crass, but like, you know, even today I was like, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm okay. We just talked about all the stuff. You know, I definitely have an awareness. You know, I would love to get some stuff out of my body. But I thought if nothing really happens, maybe it's just because, you know, I'm feeling better today than normal. And then the physical reaction I just had on your table was so specific and wasn't just like, oh, I'm a little bit dizzy because I'm breathing better than I normally do and more than I normally do. But like the constricted feeling I had and the burning sensation, don't be scared, anybody. It wasn't horrible. Okay. It was great. It was liberating and exciting in my calves, my feet and my arms and my hands it was so specific, and when it unwound and I felt better and it released and you told me to get off the table and put my feet down and feel every corner of my foot and really get grounded, I had never felt more in my body or more grounded in my entire life. I felt the weight of my body more than I ever have, and I make it a point to walk around my house with, you know, without shoes on so I can feel grounded and connected to the earth. But this was a whole other thing. So I just like to make that clear because sometimes, you know, healers and people who do this kind of like energy work, you know, they're on podcasts, this and that. And I listen to other people on guests on podcasts because I'm fascinated and I've visited a lot of them. But yeah, I just want to say that like I don't go to people, and I wouldn't have somebody on my podcast if I thought it was just a bullshit ruse. I'm just going to say that because that's a real thing you have to watch out for. So like, you know, as curious as I am, I'm very quick to call bullshit on bullshit. And this was such a nice feeling. And now I'm like, my next question is, I know I'm ranting here, but like, how long is this going to last for? I always worry because I had a wonderful session with a woman named Atma. And I like, when I walked out of her place, this is not about her, but she was great. But my question to her and to you is like, how long am I going to be feeling good for? How long will this last for before I coil up and all the negative energy comes back in my body and stores itself in my whatever, you know, like, so... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for this question. It's really good and important. So when I went to acupuncture school back in New York, and then also did my first Reiki training many years ago, I was taught to say, whether it was acupuncture or Reiki, to tell the client or patient, so just know this energy is going to keep moving beyond, or the chi is going to keep moving beyond the time on the table for 24 hours. And for a while I said that, and over these years and teaching this modality now, Reiki myself, and just again, learning so much by just doing this work and sharing it and learning from my clients actually, I came to understand that energy is not, it's not 24 hours. It will actually keep moving infinitely. So every time we sit down to meditate, every time we practice yoga, every time we really, or go for a walk in nature, we move, we begin to move our energy, and it has a very own, a life on its own. You know, it's, we open something up, and then it, that becomes a journey that really has its own divine healing or opening agenda. I believe that with every client that comes through my door, and I teach that to my students, and I learned this actually back in school, in my first time of Chinese medicine school, that every client, every patient has their own healing agenda, and we cannot be, you know, making our, or like us depend on the outcome of a session. And that's another thing, because I believe this, that everybody who comes in is basically, you know, on a different, like on a maybe more subconscious level, is guiding us, like your body, your spirit is guiding us really through the session versus me leading it in that way. And there's another important thing. So there is something we call, and this is a very drastic word, healing crisis. And sometimes people write about it, but not too much. So it's basically this idea of sometimes we have to feel worse before we feel better. And especially if we think about it in a sense of that this energy work, you know, it's also moving, it's detoxifying, and whether that's literally physically detoxifying, but also cleansing out old stuff that's in here, and maybe not forever, but getting into the things. You know, today, like something I said to you at the end, so amazing for you even to feel certain areas in your body where you now like, oh wow, I didn't even realize I had, you know, there's a little bit of a block here. And I could explain again, because of my background, oh, hips is related to da 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 da, you know, lack of support, or, you know, abuse, whatever it is. It's there's all of this, and there's also just for you or the person, the client, to connect to that. Because it's one thing that someone else tells you, this is what it means, but it also, what does that mean to me? Why am I holding this? And because it's not like my body and me, it's both us.
So I want to go through the chakras and the meridians or whatever all the things are called. This is like, okay, I don't know all the terminology, but that's where you come in. But I told you earlier that I used to have all these burning sensations and like all this in my, what is it, my third chakra, the solar plexus? Is that the third chakra? And that's attached to shame and whatever it is. Yeah, so to shame. So I would, that, you know, when I first started dating my current boyfriend, I was so panic stricken, so filled, you know, all, it was always burning. I had to Google, what does this mean? Why is this specific point burning? And now today then with the, you know, now that's not happening as much. It really isn't. And I'm kind of like relieved and happy. And I'm like, oh, maybe I've grown. Something good is happening. But what I have noticed, you know, we talked about this again before, but like, I've come to realize that, like, yeah, I really don't have as much self-worth as I thought I did. I want to like myself more. I want to not be so mean to myself. And I'm making friends with peace and calm, which is very uncomfortable for me. So I don't even know what my point is here, but, can you explain, like, oh yeah, what did it, with my hands burning, what did that, what was that representative of?
Mm-hmm.
Representative.
Yeah. So hands,
or like whatever I was,
yeah,
what was
so
that?
Hands, and this is a phenomenon that's, I see, you know, we see when we, through this specific breathing, it's seen more commonly. And I explain, especially Reiki, which is a hands-on healing practice, or part of the spiritual practice, our hands are an extension of our heart. And it's something that we use, it's part of us that we use to literally every day give and receive and also love and support how we relate. And in that way, that's what our heart, like chakra, or really our heart does. And thank you. Drifting away.
Drifting away from the mic.
So it's very, very telling that, you know, we all have, because of past experience, some protection, layers of protection around our heart. I mean, I hardly know anybody who walks around with an open, wide open heart 24/7, and that's very normal. So, and it can also be at a time when we're more open-hearted and then something happens and then we close it. We can close it because we feel betrayal. It can, you know, shut down because we lose someone that that we care for, you know, like someone passes. So it's many reasons why there can be blocks around our heart or layers of protection. So to me, the hands, I mean, it can, you know, there can be a very scientific explanation of tetany. When you would Google it, like, why are my hands cramping up when I'm breathing strongly?
Oh, cramping. That's what they were doing. I can't remember that
well,
word.
Yeah, cramping, grasping. Someone, like some people call it claw hands.
They were. I had a claw hand. Yeah. I had two claw hands.
Lobster hands.
I had two lobster claw hands, and they were cramping more than I've ever cramped in my entire life. Yeah. And what was I holding on to?
That is exactly the question to ask yourself. What am I holding on to?
No, but I was asking what the crystals I was holding on to.
Oh. But I thought it was like exactly, no, that's exactly what it is.
You took it to more deep existential place. Yeah. I'm all literal. I'm like, what was that rock I was holding?
So I like to give, people, and this is, you know, my husband has been teaching this technique for a long time. So this is something that he, you know, passes on as an idea to give people rocks to hold in your hands while you're doing this, because it happens. Not only do rocks, sometimes it can be ocean stones or crystals. I gave you minerals, so crystals, but more minerals that are called Boji stones. Not a lot of people know about them. They're very, they have a lot of metal. They're a little bit, they have a lot of pyrite in them. So they're very grounding. They're also very heavy in nature. So literally just grounding your body, and they're energy conductors. So they help to conduct the energy in the hands. So it helps to, well, stay connected to that place. You know, if you have a weight on something, you stay connected to it. And that is one big, you know, one, like a really important part about all of this work is that, like, what I help with my clients with is coming back into their body.
Coming back into their
body. Coming back and feeling into their body. And remember what I asked you at the beginning, or to say out loud at the beginning, to say, it is safe for me to be in my body. Because even though we all, like, of course, we run around, we live here on this earth, or, you know, we are all alive when we listen to this right now, but it doesn't mean that we're actually fully in our body. And why we leave our body is because of trauma in our life, because it doesn't feel safe when we are abused, it doesn't feel safe when we have a car accident, so we leave more into the energetic part of our being or the spiritual part of our being. So this... But in order to really be here, to not feel anxious, to really embark on this whole journey, of, you said, of self-worth, loving ourselves with every part, it also means, you know, coming into fully into ourselves in this body that is given to us and loving it.
I love what you said before, too, prior to this podcast. Sorry, guys, you weren't privy to that. But yeah, when you were like talking about how I'm so in my head. And it was such an interesting thing when you said that you, like, when you're trying to escape, you kind of go into your head to go into spirit, kind of to go back to where you came from. But yeah, I definitely feel like, yeah, I'm not in my body. I live in my head. Mm. It started young, probably daydreaming, or just to get away from all the chaos in my household and hiding in a closet from parents screaming and to not be hit and this and that, whatever. So that was such an interesting thing. It's like, oh, no wonder I live in my head.
Yes.
It's been my hideaway. It's been my safe zone.
Exactly.
If I had to be in my body, that means I would have to be here. Oh, no wonder I drink alcohol, like 6 drinks or 8 drinks instead of 2 drinks or no drinks, because I'm trying to escape.
Exactly.
Trying to numb myself and, you know, just, yeah, disappear.
That is exactly what it is. So this root chakra, second chakra, and the root chakra that forms energetically in the first part in our life, like the first few months and years, if we don't feel safe out of whatever reason, we can build this foundation and our energy moves further up into the upper chakra, which is, and you know, if you get to clear, you know, the third eye and in the head, it's about the thinking. So this is, yeah, you got it. This is exactly what we do. We escape into what feels safer, because it doesn't feel safe for us to be here. And one of the big parts of the healing journey is to claiming our right to be here. And this is obviously, again, we are not really connected that we don't think we don't deserve to be here, but it's our inner child still probably is not really sure that it's safe to be here.
I definitely go through that. And I was talking about this the other day about, you know, to my therapist about how I really do think I'm special. I do think I'm special. And he went, no, you don't. Not that I don't, but we're having a conversation and he's lovely, but it's true. I might get odds with myself because I can't accept love. I'm in this wonderful relationship and I have a hard time like trying to push it away and fight it off because it's so unfamiliar to be loved in such a consistent way. I want so much for myself. I think I'm very talented. I do like myself sometimes, but there's so much other stuff with the mean self-talk and the, mm-hmm. you know, not feeling allowed, not good enough. Like, oh, it's for them. Success is for them, or they're better than me, or I'm not enough, or not, I don't know. Just, yeah, not good enough. And that is like, an annoying truth to reckon with. And yeah, but I guess realizing that makes you want to choose nicer words that you say to yourself in your mind or out loud and do the work and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly, yeah. So this is a little bit like third chakra, the solar plexus, which is connected to our sense of power and will. And what you said earlier, the demon of that chakra is shame, which is the idea of shame is I am bad. And again, this is something that was creeping in when we were very young through whatever reasons, because we are not bad. No one of us is bad. You know, if we do bad things, then we do it to learn from them, hopefully. The first part is to, as you said, is to acknowledge, oh, there is still some unworthiness in me and some insecurities, and we all have them. Nobody does not have it. It's actually one of the most healing parts for all of us would be to really be vulnerable, more vulnerable, because to realize that, no, we're not perfect and we don't need to be. So we all have our insecurities, and of course they come up. And they love coming up in relationship, intimate relationship. To me, we talked about it. Yeah. I think intimate relationship are here for that. So the first part is to acknowledge that, like, oh, wow, there's still some here. And then there are beautiful practices, you know, with the mind, because mind can rule so much of shifting the negative thoughts into positives. Very powerful, very important. And in a meditation to just even notice all of the self-talk, and then exactly this work, or, you know, whether it's with me or anybody else who offers this, there are so many beautiful people out there offering any, you know, of this.
This is about
somatic,
you.
somatic work too, because this is then why, even though you already know what you're doing and you know what this is happening and you want it to change. So then it's like, okay, what is here that hinders it from changing? And it's oftentimes fear, and the fear is old, and the fear is oftentimes stuck in the body. So I like to see Reiki in general as somatic meditation, because with touch, or, you know, we bring awareness to these certain areas, and it helps guide the mind a little bit. So again, also Reiki, which doesn't have to be with screaming, how I sometimes do it with the specific kind of breath, but it can also be gentle. You know, we can do a front and back session just with hand placements on your heart, on your hips, on your knees. And that can bring people all of a sudden start crying or start laughing, but crying, or they just relax, or they realize, oh, wow, I have all of a sudden this grief coming up when you had your hands over my heart or over my shoulders. So it really is, these are things that are stored in the body, and that's those energetic blocks. And that's why it always needs to be, or ideally it will be talking therapy and then some physical work, Movement is so powerful. Dancing is so powerful to help opening these areas, you know. So this is why this is so important to allowing these healing modalities to be holistic. Body, mind, heart, you know, energy, spirit.
That's so interesting with the moving, because the moving your body, because it's not just, oh, you're creating endorphins, which you are, which is great. But also, yeah, because the movement of energy and flowing and dislodging stuff. That, I mean, I don't know. I do nothing. I sit on a couch all the time. I'm always in front of my computer looking at Instagram. I deleted my Facebook.
Wow.
I was so happy. I know. It's so funny. That's the reaction. Wow. It is kind of a silly wow thing. Are you on Facebook?
I've never been. Recently, someone had set my Facebook up because I changed my Instagram to a business account. So I had to set up, but I never use it. I think I never even logged into it. It was someone else setting it up for me. So no.
Yeah.
I don't know about Facebook too much.
I'm good. Don't. Yeah. I'm just glad I got rid of that weird, like, psychic pull of weird, I don't know, static, noisy energy. But tell me about all the different things that you offer. Like, if I were to come in, what are all the things to choose from? Because, yeah.
Yeah. So So what we did would probably fall into the category of trauma release, also based on what I just shared a little bit. So I have a trauma release session as an option. And what we very certainly going to work with is breathing that will tap, you know, make people feel really into their emotions. Sometimes people come and they're so blocked, you know, and again, there's no judgment. This is because of protective mechanisms that they have a really hard time. Usually it's they're resisting the breathing, you know, and they get, I mean, so it's really, and I work with all of it because it's, you know, a place of compassion. I love seeing the resistance and it's, you know, it's all protection. So it can be very, very interesting, these sessions. And then there is integrative Reiki where we, you know, and it's always with a consultation at the beginning. So I'm a holistic health coach too. I did that, I think, as my entrance into the healing world. So there's always conversation at the beginning where we see, okay, what's going on? You know, what's the intention? What's going on as person's life and what do you want to work on, and then based on that I'll decide a little bit about the modalities. And then I also offer womb healing sessions, which are not only really wonderful for anything around you know, the physical area of the lower belly, whether that's fertility or menstruation or, you know, anything in that realm, or digestion. I use a little bit more massage and oils, but it's also great to help reconnect to our divine or to our feminine essence. And to just explain that quickly, coming from Chinese medicine, Taoism, I believe that there's, you know, yin and yang or feminine masculine energies in all of us, regardless of gender and regardless, you know, it's all around us and it's inside of us. We all have masculine and feminine energy. And we really use these energies differently throughout our daily life. So feminine is more that receptive, being able to, you know, slow down, compassion, empathy, caring. And then masculine is more fast.
Goodness, like, I might be the masculine energy in my relationship. Am I the masculine energy in my relationship where if he moves slow and he's got empathy and he like is a container, a quiet container? Oh my God, but I thought he's so masculine.
Well, he is because he has also both. And the way why we have these dynamics coming up in relationship is because of our, so what's, how does our masculine feminine energy that we have inside of us, how is that built or created through the first masculine feminine energies that we experience when we come to this earth, which is oftentimes our mother and our father, based on how they act and based on how they represent what is it, you know, masculine energy, feminine energy, and how that resonates with our heart, with our soul. This can come up, and that's why these things come up in relationships. So this is exactly the reasons why all of the...
And you, well, keep going with what you're saying before. I didn't mean to interrupt you with that.
No, that was perfect. So masculine, feminine energies. And so oftentimes in relationship, it's actually perfect because when we're in relationship as women, we can lose ourselves a little bit. Let's say we're attracted to a very masculine guy or, you know, even in, I think, same gender. It's like one person is more has more feminine energy, one more masculine. So that has nothing to do with gender. And so we can lose our feminine a little bit in a strong, dominating masculine energy. And again, this could like use a little bit more explanation, but we don't have enough time. And I think everybody gets the idea. And then all of a sudden, we're like, wait a second, I was so confident going into this relationship. I felt so good about myself. Now I feel needy. I feel like I'm pulling. And so there's so much dynamic that then causes the same issues. And to, with the intention with my womb healing sessions is to also come back to that, our divine feminine, because we have our divine masculine, our divine feminine, and then the ways they can act out and dominate the other. So it's about creating the balance again. And so this is, so these healings are not only like on the physical level very beneficial, but also, or great, but also, you know, more on the
spiritual,
emotional, on these levels. And then what else? Meridian therapy, because of my background as a Chinese medicine practitioner. And I practice acupuncture when I'm in New York, but I don't have the license here right now because I had to do the program again, moving to California. And then I had a daughter, it's now 22 months old, and I just have to finish like that, the license, the last year of school, basically. And I've been so busy that I didn't have time to go back. That's the reason why I'm not using acupuncture or offer it here in LA, but I'm using all of my knowledge about it with essential oils, with manual pressure, and crystals. So it's basically acupuncture without needles, plus my Reiki addition and always breathing. So it's, but that's the idea of my meridian therapy. So for example, what you experience with your hands, and in Chinese medicine, I know that from Chinese medicine, I know that there is our lung meridian, our heart protector meridian going along the inside of our arm. So all about, you know, grief, heart protection, heart opening. And, for example, if I know someone just, you know, broke up from a relationship or is afraid to go into the next or is in a relationship, then I will maybe let them breathe for a moment. And if they feel pain somewhere, I will then navigate the meridians and feel along the channels. If I feel for places of, you can actually feel areas on the meridians. You know, I feel sometimes people having really hard, it's not muscles that are hard, but it's literally little stuck places, and I help to open them with, again, essential oils or manual pressure, and you know, while talking about it, which helps to open it on a different level. So yeah, I think that's like the main things. And I may offer like Reiki outside because we have an outdoor healing space here.
Oh wow, you do?
Yeah, so that's a little bit for when someone just wants to, like, you know, give someone a really nourishing, like, sweet session. That's then just like, you know, the traditional, and it's hard for me to say it because, you know, Reiki is kind of much more than just a healing session or hands-on healing session, but it's a traditional Reiki session in a sense of not needing to let someone scream or, you know, not leading them to the like strong breathing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got the trauma release because there's more where that came from. But I know this isn't going to be, we're not going to talk for an eon, but how did you even get into this?
Yes.
Because you're like this gorgeous rock and roll kind of, I mean, I don't know if you're rock and roll, but I mean, just like this whimsical, I'm just projecting this on you, but I just imagine you've lived like 1,000 lives, even though you only look like you're like 18 years old, just like, you know, running in a cornfield. And I don't know, like you're just, who are you? Where did you come from? That did, like, I don't know.
You're so sweet.
Okay.
I had a career before I ventured into healing in fashion design.
Okay.
I lived in New York, and with my accent, you can hear I'm not from the United States originally. I'm from Germany, and I lived there until, well, I lived in London for a moment, but I moved to New York when I was 25. And was in fashion for a while, and
I meet a lot of healers who used to be in fashion.
It's and got a big, I have a whole theory about
it. It's just so infectious and toxic. They're like, we gotta get out of here.
That for sure too. And so my the short version of my theory in that is, I was actually one of the designers that I like my job, and I worked because I was kind of saying no to things that I didn't like working for corporate companies that pay a lot of money, but it's not very creative. So I was always working creatively and was really nice companies, or people like designers I was inspired by. But I just, I was pulled into the healing. I didn't even have a choice. And I was also, I'm very open, like curious, and follow these calls. I mean, have followed the call to move to New York, and without even thinking about it too much. And the same with acupuncture. So I basically just followed my calling, and realizing whenever I did get an acupuncture session while I was a designer or a massage, every time I walked through the doors of these places, something inside of me was saying, this is the world I want to be in.
Oh, wow.
And
you really have to listen to that, don't you?
You do have to.
Because everybody could listen to that. You just have to pay attention.
Yeah. That's exactly the, it's this whole cliche of listening to your heart.
Yeah.
Because that was really my heart. You know, again, I like my jobs, and I also, there is a lot of drama about a print pattern and the next polka dot dress. And, you know, and it makes you wonder, is this really so important to get so upset about,
yeah,
or so stressed about. And so, yeah, a lot of, I've seen a lot of my colleagues moving into, you know, yoga, spiritual teaching or spiritual practices or healing practices, because I believe, and it's with most creatives in general, but as a designer, you are also, if you're called to the, you know, to design, you're a visionary. And I mean, that's a little bit how I see myself, or realize that that's what it was. You're a visionary, and you kind of tap into trends because of just what you perceive, and it's very subconscious. But that's why you're maybe a good fashion designer, because you kind of see things that are like that are great, and then you bring them out and people are like, oh yeah, that's new, that's interesting, and that's exactly what I was like, what I want. And if we think about this concept that can be applied to fashion, other things, for like, this is an energy we're tapping into, you know, a vision, not only like focusing on what could be the next color or dress silhouette be that's interesting, or but it's actually, what does the world need? And again, this is something that I think happens unconsciously. And the world needs healing. The world, not only the world as all the people, but the planet. And I believe that those visionaries that are drawn to fashion, or, you know, like active in that, like very sensitive, very creative, intuitive people, which is usually a package. You are one of them.
Me?
Sensitive, intuitive, creative.
Thank
and
you.
I'm sure so many listening to this and feeling drawn to your work and offerings. So it's usually a package. And yeah, and we feel things. And I believe that's the reason why so many people are drawn to healing, because we need more of it. I mean, that's a little bit my idea.
No, I agree. But what was the day? Like, what was, like, how long ago was it? And you're in New York, you're living your life. Did you go for cocktails? I imagine this very glamorous, like, were you smoking cigarettes? Or we don't even put that out in the world.
I was. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, the way you perceive me, and maybe who I am now or how I am now, I certainly wasn't all my life. I think I was a very unconscious teenager.
Really? Were you wearing leather jackets? Leather jackets?
Probably leather, yeah. Leather jacket, pleather jackets, and my rave time. I didn't have rave times, but there was club times.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, just growing up in the 90s in Europe. So there was definitely a lot of unconscious behavior, whether choices of partners, you know, substances, alcohol, as someone who's so sensitive, you know, could never handle it really. Still did it. Smoked from 15 till 25 and cigarettes. And I, and then with moving to New York, there was also some of that still. And then I think my roommate was very into healthy eating at the time. She was a big inspiration. And then it just unfolded.
Do you still talk to her ever?
She's an artist. She lives in New York. Uh-huh. And yeah, she was a huge inspiration of, she had this big book called Healing with Whole Foods.
Oh, wow.
Which is an amazing book, and it's been around for a long time. But I remember it was always on the table. And so it just shifted. And then with, I think, in our mutual friend Lacey, she has a very similar story with similar timing. So around 25 was then the time when I realized how unconscious I've acted, and not all the time, but you know, where I really hurt myself with like choices again of partners or
me too,
partying. And then first comes about a feeling of shame and guilt, like you know, that kind of shame of, you know, maybe having a one night stand, and the next day you're like, what did I do?
That's
coming
me
back to you.
That's me a million times. Yeah,
so that is that feeling of, again, this is like the second chakra, what we talked about earlier, is sexuality, like what did I do, and a shame, and it really creeps up. And so after maybe really feeling some shame and guilt about stuff that I've done, eventually kicked in the sense of self-love, where I was like, you know what, I'm not proud of certain choices and people or whatever I was with, but I know that I needed to do everything exactly the way I did, because otherwise I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing with the people I am now and really who I am. And that was, to me, that was the realization in hindsight that that was self-love.
Oh my God. While you're saying these things, that you made these choices, you felt bad about them, but then self-love, don't beat yourself up. I went back into a memory while you're talking quickly about, like, years ago at a party, I got very drunk. I had sex with a guy in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just cringe thinking about, I'm like, oh my God, I would not do that now. But unconscious from alcohol, why did I need to have sex then and there with a stranger in the closet at a party, and somebody opened the door while it was mm-hmm. happening? I'm humiliated. And it was actually like a work, not a work thing, but like around people that I might work with. Oh my God, nightmare. So it's just, yeah.
But the good thing is that, you know,
I'm humiliated.
Yeah. If you think about it, you feel exactly there.
Oh God.
This is where we feel, and you know, I mean, I don't even want to know how many people have a very similar experience, because we just do these things. We are human. And why you did it is because you're very sensitive. So with alcohol, like so many other people I know, men and women, you get out of your body. So you weren't in your body.
Oh yeah, who cares if I have sex with this hockey player in a closet?
You weren't in your body, and still you were probably attracted. You were drunk, but you were not in your body. If you would have been sober or just like in your body, grounded, you would have maybe had a conversation. You would have never had that, you know, basically it's an energy when we're attracted to someone sexually, and it's actually, you know, it's something good. But maybe not in this specific way. And that was just, it just happened because you weren't in your body, you weren't grounded for all the reasons that you know is nothing that was your fault. You weren't in your body because of old traumas. I mean, this is the same for all of us. That's why we do things when we're on substances that we are certainly not proud of. I mean, usually we don't say things that are smarter, we don't do things that are smarter.
Yeah, oh God.
So the self-love will kick in, because also, you know, for you, it's, I mean, you already, it's in such an interesting zone, because you already are amazing, and you are, you know, it's just like a little thing that will still shift. And then, you know, I mean, we all experience how much brighter you will even shine when this all happens. You're already so bright.
Oh, thank you.
Such a bright light.
Thank you.
Inspiration for so many.
I've never, but the funny thing is I've never been more depressed in my entire life than this year during this relationship. Not because I love him so much. He brings me so much joy. But like you and I were talking about, I feel that my karmic lesson or my whole reason for being in this body, this lifetime or whatever, is to learn how to love and to learn how to be loved. And it's so difficult. So I have the good moments, but when the bad moments happen of the struggle, the internal struggle, the suffering, to be understood, being reactive, being jealous, being calm in a quiet moment, compromising, communicate, it's, you know, even the sound of my voice shows that I like, you know, that's where I trip out and I turn into a kid. But yeah, it's like, but I want to get over the hump. I want to do all the work. It's difficult.
You're doing it. And the fact that it's feels harder than ever before is because you're in, well, knee deep. And I think already past the point of experience, you know, this is the time where, as I said at some point before, sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. And it's only because now you are experiencing more consciously what you're doing. You know, sometimes people are fine and they seem to not having any problems because they're so checked out. You are very tuned in and aware and conscious. And sometimes for people, this seems to, you know, they seem like I'm more anxious than before. But in the end, this is, you know, you are more and more tapping or engaging on your path of the heart of truth. And sometimes it feels harder. And then, you know, you're obviously having your heart compass set on being the most healthiest version of yourself and truthful and, you know, basically living your truth. And that's what you're doing. And there's nothing you can ever say or do that will make a person from this place, that will make a person leave your life that's meant to be in your life. And there's nothing you can ever say or do that will make a person stay that's not meant to be in your life.
Oh, wow. That's a nice point.
So if you are set on being the best or, you know, most healthy, conscious version of yourself, compassionate version of yourself with yourself, then you can allow for things to come out of your mouth if they're coming from a place of truth and trust that this is meant to come out. And the person who's be your beloved and partner, they will see you for who you are.
Oh, God. Oh, he sees.
He does. I can sense
poor
his
him.
Huge
oh,
heart. He is amazing.
He is like an angel. He's a gift and an angel.
And you are to him.
Thank you. Oh, boy. My mom was saying the other day, yesterday she was like, because I'll call myself lazy a lot. I call myself lazy a lot. And my therapist said, don't say that about yourself because it shuts you down. It'll close your body off. You know, and my mom was like, I've heard, you know, she brought that up too. She goes, you say lazy, that you're lazy, but you're just figuring it out. You're trying to get your heart right. You're trying to get yourself right. Because when you get this right, then you'll do all the other things. Because, you know, I haven't done so many things I want to do because for such a long time, I've been so obsessive about worrying about the relationship, this and that, unnecessary worry, but still doing it. And then I beat myself up because I wasn't doing all the other stuff, but I was like, oh, it's too hard to do the other stuff. I'm in the fetal position. I feel so bad. I feel drained anyway. And then my therapist says, he's like, of course you feel depleted. You're exerting all this energy for the past year and a half and probably every other boyfriend you've ever had in your life. You're depleted. The goal is, the practice is now to try it a different way, which will fill up my tank, make me less depleted, and then I'll do all the other stuff because I know I have potential. But it makes me so sad that I don't implement all of my creative potential. But I guess I have got to get comfortable with accepting love and going through this hike journey to handle being in a relationship, because oh my God, it's so much easier not to be in a relationship. But then you don't learn as much. So
you don't learn anything.
You don't learn anything because you're not reflected in someone's eyes. Oh boy. But back to you. And we will land this plane, but were you ever in a rock band? Were you ever in a band or anything?
So sweet. No.
No? I have this whole idea of you that you're, I don't know. All right. Well,
that's so sweet. No, no, certainly not a singing voice.
No?
Up in the background.
Get this mic. Of course you weren't in a band because you keep drifting. The mic keeps drifting. If you had ever been in a band, you'd, you know, you'd probably be a narcissist who would keep the mic by your mouth the entire time. But well, what's next for you then? So we know about the modalities that you offer or the services you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we find you?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh, side note of a side note. I just have to throw this in. My mom goes, you have to watch this documentary. It's called The Great Hack. And I said, oh, where did you watch it? And I meant like, what platform did you watch it on? And she went, at my house upstairs. And I, oh my God. And she went, Netflix upstairs in my bedroom. She's still out of where she watched it. Anyway, so you're here, yeah. But how do we find you?
No, I know. I mean, I kind of.
I know you weren't saying what my mom said, but it was so cute to remind me of mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the privilege that I created for myself to, you know, I live in LA. That's why we could meet today.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we both do this kind of work, and we have a healing, actually two healing rooms at our house.
It's so beautiful here, by the way. Oh my goodness. Everything is like, it's so highbrow and gorgeous and like crystals, and everything's just like, just the environment you created. Mm. It's just like gorgeous, holistic, yet decadent, fancy. I just feel so fancy and spiritual. I don't know. Anyway, so go on. Sorry.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. And then I, you know, obviously have a website.
Tell us where to find. Tell us all this stuff. I want to know. Instagram, website. How do people experience what I experienced?
Yeah, Instagram I do when I'm not doing Facebook, as I mentioned. Instagram, am I saying my Instagram
you just,
name?
Yeah, see, you are. Yeah, so this is a self-promotion, baby. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Which is my name, Lara, L-A-R-A. Lara Elliott, LLT. Oh my God, I don't even know my Instagram.
It's fine.
One, Lara Elliott one, I think.
Is it? Whatever. I'll have talked about this in the intro. See, that's my job. Yeah. Forget it. But then, and then they go to the website, which is.
And then my website is laraelliotthealing.com. And I also, so I share some of the work I do, I offer as teaching. So I'm a Reiki teacher. And there are, there's Reiki 1, Reiki 2, and Reiki Masters. And I offer these trainings, some here at the house. They're weekend trainings, and then the Masters is more like a retreat. And I do my first one actually this year in Ojai.
Oh my goodness.
In October, and that's filled.
Forget it, guys. Sorry.
No, but it's a journey, and it's those trainings are very specific because it's not about having as much people as possible. They can only hold a certain amount because of the things we do during the trainings. But they're beautiful. And what the most beautiful thing is that Reiki, as a lot of people just think of it as a hands-on healing practice, like similar to massage, it's actually a spiritual practice. And the hands-on modality that you can practice on yourself and others, it's just a part of it. It's a pillar of it. And it's very close related to Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, which was my part of my spiritual journey as well. And it's a beautiful practice. It's not a religion in the sense, you know, you don't have to give up your religion to do it. And it just really shifts ways and really beautiful. Yeah, it shifts things in people's lives in very beautiful ways that I couldn't even explain. Like, again, Lacey, our friend, she did the training. She was actually the reason why I started teaching, because I was fine just one-on-one. I love my private sessions with clients. And and she just kept saying, and other clients said, like, do you ever teach what you do? And I was like, oh, it's so many things, you know, Chinese medicine. But I was like, Reiki, I can teach Reiki. So she was the first, like one of the first ones in my training.
Oh, she took it? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. How long does it last for? How many days?
It's weeks, only a month? Weekend.
Oh, really?
It's only a Saturday. Oh, wow. And a Sunday.
That's incredible.
And that's the Reiki one, and then two also a weekend. And it's just something that's, it adds a sweetness to everybody's life because it's a little bit about raising the vibrational body, but you know, in regards to our mind, our heart, our body, and yeah, and it's like a lot of people are like, what does Reiki do, or you know, how does it feel? And there's really the best way to answer it is you have to experience it, because it's similar to a massage if you get a session, but it's different. And in that, and it's, but it's as relaxing as it is, but it's also, you know, it can be as moving as a beautiful walk through nature, and people start, and anyways, I could talk about it for a long time.
No, I love it. Yeah.
Reiki is, really dear to my heart, and it only came through so much, I think, because I was moving from New York to Los Angeles and I couldn't practice acupuncture here right away. And, so that practice came through, and I know I'm meant to share it, and it's, love, it's really beautiful. A lot of my clients take it, even though they don't think about becoming a healer or, you know, healing practitioner.
Just to know.
And I just do it because, you know, just to experience it. And yeah, I don't, I mean, Lacey is not using it on clients in that way, but it really uplifts, or it's a beautiful thing to add to your life.
Oh my goodness. How do you keep your vibration so high? I mean, you don't drink.
Practicing Reiki, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, doing it for yourself.
Well, it's also when you... So in Reiki, one of the big ideas is that it's not given, but it's drawn by the person. And as a practitioner, you're just a vessel for the energy. And so in that way, there are principles in Reiki which are, you know, certain principles that are similar to Buddhism. So if you do this kind of work, the most important thing is self-practice, so mindful practice, meditation, and Reiki kind of has these parts in it, but on a very, like, in a way that everybody can implement it in their life easily. And yeah, so I love the work I do more than the fashion design I did before.
Yeah.
So that is, to me, a way that, you know, makes me feel so alive and happy and grateful and honored. You know, every time when I'm sitting with a client, I feel so grateful and honored for, you know, being able to hold the space for them and the trust. And so that really fills me up with so much gratitude. And yeah, so I don't, yeah, you asked, like, I don't drink alcohol.
No alcohol.
But it was not an intention. I was, you know, I drank wine, and I mean, at least in the later part. And then 7 or 8 years ago, when I was introduced to the breathing that we did today, after the first time doing it, I had a big experience, big release, cathartic experience, and I stopped having the desire for alcohol.
Oh, wow.
It, like, I don't know what happened. I never thought I had to stop, or it was, you know, dangerous for me. It just completely left my desire, my realm of desire. And
wow.
And to this day, you know, there was a moment where I had like a few drinks with like some, like a group of friends, and they all like to have drinks here and there, and it didn't serve me. I had this experience that I realized it's not, because all I do, my intention is to be clear. And, you know, as soon as you smoke a joint or, you know, drink a glass of wine, you're not clear anymore. And
yeah,
it just, not that it's smoking, you know, or whatever, it's a bad thing at all. I don't judge it in any way. But it doesn't resonate with me anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's at this point, I don't drink, but it's because not because I judge it, but just because it doesn't
like, work for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a ton of friends, or did a lot of people fall to the wayside, or do you, like, who do you spend time with? Because you have a baby, you have a husband.
I have a 22-year-old, 22-month-old baby, not 22-year-old.
Yeah.
22-month-old baby, and I'm a very attached mom, so I spend a lot of time with my baby, also because she, you know, I work from home, so
you got the cutest
around.
Baby in the world.
She is amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
She's also so much fun to spend time with.
Really? I know. I want to have a baby
so
at some
fun.
Point.
It's like your best buddy.
Oh, my God.
Your best buddy. And, but yeah, I have, like, really sweet friends, and I have one of my sisters also lives here in LA, she and her husband.
That's nice.
So I have
your family.
My family, my husband, you know, of course, who is wonderful. And
what's the vetting process for people coming to you? Because if you work out of your home,
yeah,
you got to make sure you don't get any weirdos.
Well, that's why, well, usually it's a, you know, it's a referral, like people are coming by word of mouth, and I, except Instagram, where I started to like sometimes post about a training, but it's also very personal. It shows, yeah. I mean, basically my life, which is a lot of my daughter and then some of my healing stuff. I recently said no or last year to an offer from, I think, a TV show that wanted to, you know, show a little bit about LA. And then I don't know how they found me, but first I was excited, and then I realized that because of exactly that reason.
Oh, that you work out of your home.
The fact that this is so private here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I trust so far that this work has always attracted the clients, the students that were all so amazing, you know. I mean, I could be almost friends with every of my clients.
Oh, that's nice.
And so I keep trusting spirit in that way, and you know, my intention. I have pretty good intentions and boundaries. So
Just kidding. I have boundaries. I have good intentions for sure, but my boundaries. I always get scared if I talk to somebody. I'm just going to call them healers. But yeah, if I have a friend who's a healer, and I have their number, I always have to tell them, and it's more for me, actually. I'm like, don't worry, I'm not going to always text you when I'm having a spiral, because I've done that before in the past with friends even and who do this kind of work. And then I've got to be like, oh, I don't have any boundaries. Mm. I need to have boundaries. So now I have boundaries. But and you didn't...
You can text me.
Oh, I'm not going to... No, don't say that, because you'll regret it. I'll be like, hey, I'm having all these feelings. I'll be like, oh yeah. My God.
And it's the healer's responsibility, of course. But yeah, no, I mean, my husband and I, we work with the elements. You know, we have a spiritual practice and belief in, you know, I mean, we work with our angels and spirit and the elements and Mother Nature. And and to me, you know, when people ask me about boundaries, I always say the biggest, you know, boundaries is... comes from our intention. So intention is really where boundaries come from. And if there's some, you know, it's like a base, like a foundation. And if we are, and also our honesty with self. So if that's all clear and strong, then
yeah. All right, I'll text you. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's an energy that either, you know, that like if it gets sticky, it's usually because people have like the intentions aren't clear.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I trust that, you know, that it's just the work attracts the people who come to me. And, you know, I see anybody, you know, people who come through the door. This is a place of like pure compassion. So
I love that.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy you said yes to the podcast, because I feel like I've been trying to get you on my podcast for about a year and a half. And it was like, okay, maybe she doesn't want to. Okay. All right. She DM me. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's a good sign. And I'll ask her again. And you said, yes, I can't believe it. What made you say yes?
I am maybe more of a private person, and I was also busy, you know, with my daughter. So there was a little bit that, and maybe, you know, just energetically. And maybe one part was the thought, because I like looked a little bit into, you know, what you do. And I saw with our friend Lacey, and then you had Shiva Rose on there. And I was really just thinking, I wonder if this is too much of a, you know, energetic spiritual conversation for the peeps.
And no.
Too boring. Maybe,
not at
or too
all.
Woo-woo. And, but it just felt right when it felt right. And I'm feeling incredibly honored. I felt honored the first time you asked me.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm honored that you said yes. And thank you for my sessions and for talking to everybody. And I went over. I was supposed to only talk to you for 45 minutes. So it's over an hour and you've got a life to live. Oh my goodness. Anything? Did I leave any stone unturned? There's so much more. I bet I could, you know, with all your rock bands and story. No, I'm just kidding. But, oh man. Well, if you ever want to be on a podcast again, let it be mine. But you did the Lacey podcast.
I did.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a whole spiritual community. My thing's like a mishmash of all different types of incredible people. So
I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm happy you're here. All right.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.